House of Bob is sponsored by Legend 7 Brewing. Based in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta, these guys do a ton to keep us online and keep beers in our fridge. Thanks for listening. Last time on House of Annihilation, the crew of the High Havoc and Douglas delve deep into the Fane of the Night Serpent, fighting the champion of Dendar the Night Serpent, Rosnaseen. They make a new friend and maybe a new enemy.
I'm Dan. I'll be playing Liana Servana, the Elf Beastmaster.
I'm Christina, and I'm playing Douglas, the Ganassi Evoker.
My name's Alex, and I'll be playing as Horik Jones, the Human Fighter.
I'm Jake, and I'm playing as Krait, the Pureblood Yuan-Ti Death Cleric.
And I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master. If you like what you hear, you can support House of Bob and help us grow by reviewing us on iTunes, buying merch from our Etsy store, or even just telling your friends about us. Roll on! It is a bright and cloudless day, with a light breeze playing across the rocky shore. White-capped waves knock against gray boulders that lie in an ancient pile at the foot of tall city walls. Half a dozen seagulls chirp and squawk as they fight over and pick apart some discarded shellfish. Sitting with her arms wrapped around her knees, watching the birds, is a young Lee. Her hair whispers around her face as she wipes tears away from red puffy eyes. With the deceptive youth of the elves, she looks no more than 14 or 15. But her grace and intelligent eyes reveal that she is truly much older. Crunching footsteps come up from behind. An old human man with long white beard tinged with orange and yellow sits down beside her. He grunts as he slumps down, his portly belly jiggling and squat sailor's legs aching with arthritis. Lee turns her head away from him, and the man sighs sadly.
Oh, my girl, I cannot tell you how this breaks my heart. I would bring you with me if I could.
Lee snorts in derision, and her adopted father looks at her, adoration and love in his eyes, but also sadness.
This is not a journey for you. This is a voyage for the dead and damned, over a horizon that holds more danger than anyone on my ship has ever seen before. We won't be coming back, I think. They say that this ship we're headed for, the Morkoth, it's got brigands and bastards rougher than anything. I don't want to do it, but we've got no choice. I'm wrapped up in it, and so it's my job to go. But you've got a chance, Lee. A chance for a good life. A long life. Much longer and better and filled with more beauty than anything I'd ever get to experience as a cracked and wrinkled old sea dog. Lee puts her forehead to her knees.
I could help, she says weakly.
I'm sure you could, but I won't allow it. That's that. The sea's no place for an elf anyhow.
They sit in silence for a long time. The waves crashing. The wind picking up as the afternoon clouds roll in.
I love you, Lee. You're not mine, but you're mine. The jewel of my life. I got you something as a parting gift.
Lee raises her head. Her brows are scrunched in anger.
I don't need gifts, Father. That's not what any of this is about. You don't need gifts, but this one needs you.
Her father puffs and grunts as he stands up, turns and walks back to the dock. After a moment, Lee gets up and follows him. As they climb the stairs to the dock, two sailors step up to greet them, and one helps Lee's father with the last few steps.
I didn't want to leave you without any responsibility, so I thought this would do the trick.
Her father smiles, reaches forward, and the sailor in the back passes him a fuzzy bundle of brown fur. Lee's eyes widen as her father turns back to her, the fuzzy bundle purring in his arms, long tail lashing around. Big brown eyes look back at Lee.
This, says her father, is town.
You guys leveled up after defeating Rosnaseen, so I would love for you to have more hit points so that I can take them away from you later.
Sounds fair. Don't roll garbage for me this time. That'd be dope.
You also rolled garbage for you. You had advantage on that roll.
We're both at fault.
Shared blame.
Really, I got what I wanted out of it. I need a D10 for Horik Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's correct.
Roll it.
A 2.
A 10.
You're what? Oh. All right. Don't do me next.
Skip me too, because I'm trying to get to the edit character and it's being so slow right now.
Okay, and Cleric is a D8?
Yep.
Let's roll some D8s there, Mr. Cleric.
4.
5.
I'll take 5.
All right, now I'm ready.
D10?
I'm a D10. I got an 8.
Take that. I got a 4. And then a D6 for a wizard.
3.
I got a 5 for you.
Yay, thank you.
You're welcome. You guys are still here in the Fane of the Night Serpent. Fenthaza has just taken her place on the former throne of Rosnacy. You've made yourself a new friend, the Yonti Pureblood Krait, who has volunteered to go into the Tomb of the Nine Gods with you. Town has passed away. Some of you almost died along with him. But now, the fate of the world lies on you and your ability to get along with the necromancer who killed one of your best friends.
I mean, honestly, now that you guys have me, you don't need Kosef anymore. We can just kill him.
I don't know if we ever needed him per se, but it was beneficial.
He still has all the cubes all the, and stuff.
Yeah.
So we take them and kill him.
Okay. Sounds easy.
No problem. As I'm pulling my dice out for the evening, got to make sure I get all the ones I need. I need a lot of D6s. You guys can go ahead and tell me what you are doing in the Fane of the Night Serpent now that this combat has ended. You're still there in that throne room. I know, Lee, you were dealing with the loss of a close, dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened? What are you doing?
I'm going to take town out to the outskirts where the forest starts in on the city.
Sure.
And I'll find like a nice place to bury town, knowing that what we're about to go into is going to be even more dangerous than what we initially were expecting. I'm going to meditate, essentially, and wait for my next companion to approach me.
You lay town to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Mark a little gravestone.
Yep.
What does the gravestone look like?
A crude drawing of town.
Like etched into a piece of lumber or something?
Essentially. I also put like a little note about my father as well, kind of thing.
Oh, cool. You meditate there for a little while, knowing that everybody else is gathering supplies and you have a little bit of time. And probably after an hour, you open your eyes, you look around, and the jungle seems still and seems calm. You get up and start heading back to the city of Omu. As you're heading back down to the city, you're descending a set of stairs between a couple of ruined buildings. And ahead of you, 40 or 50 feet, you see a velociraptor frozen, just stock still in the middle of this intersection.
I take out some of town's rations and I just lay them on the ground in front of me and stand back and wait patiently.
You stand there, you wait, you're waiting, you've got this meat out, hoping that the velociraptor will be attracted to it. But it's still there, totally stock still, like a statue. It's just not moving. It doesn't seem natural.
Okay, I approach it.
Okay.
I'll make a perception or something.
Sure. Yeah, as you're coming up, you're looking around, surveying the scene.
Not good.
It's like it's a cardboard cutout. Something.
Yeah. You get right up to the velociraptor, and you can see, as you get closer, its body is completely rigid, standing in place. There's a little bit of twitching happening in the fingers, and its eyeballs are rolling around, looking to left, to the right, behind it, everywhere it can, in almost like a agitated, panicked manner.
Oh my God, it's tripping balls.
And right as you get up to it, this wave of psychic energy comes down at you from the canopy of the buildings above you.
Ah!
Make a wisdom save.
23.
The psychic barrage slams down on top of you from above, and then with a screech and a hoot and a holler, a Sioux monster drops down from the canopy on top of you. Roll initiative.
14.
The Sioux monster has rolled below you. You are the first to react. It has just dropped on you and has not really dealt any damage to you, but has clawed down at you and is bouncing around on the ground in front of you, getting ready to make its next attack.
All right. I pull out my short swords. I say, town, get him! And then I attack.
Do it.
Damn.
20 to hit.
That hits.
7 damage.
All right.
Then I'll swing again. Going for the legs. 20 to hit again.
Yeah.
11 damage.
You slash a couple times with the short swords, knocking the Sioux monster off kilter, backing it away from the velociraptor. It's going to lunge at you, trying to bite. 10 to hit, missing you. Just snapping ineffectually at your armor. You can go ahead and take a second attack.
All right, I do so. And I'll use that spell that I like. Alarm. and Snaring Strike.
Yeah.
27.
That hits.
And it has to make a strength saving throw.
Okay.
DC 14.
Yeah, it made it.
7 damage.
7 damage, and yep. The sumo monster falls dead at your feet.
Oh, whatever then.
Falling
whatever.
Back to the ground, and the velociraptor suddenly begins to skitter and move free of the psychic hold of the sumo monster that was using it for bait. Managed to skitter back, looks at you questioningly, tilting its head back and forth. There.
Whoa. I take a few steps back and I pick up the meat that I had initially dropped at its feet and I toss it towards him.
Nice. Make an animal handling with advantage.
18.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's just, no.
Get out of here.
That's perfect. The velociraptor takes the meat from your hands and then takes its place by your side. The camera pans out and you get an epic shot of the two of you in this intersection. Dead monkey beside you. The camera zooms out and returns to the rest of the party as Lee walks up with her new friend.
And can I make a suggestion for a name?
Sure.
City.
I was thinking like borough.
We were on the same page overall, like, yeah.
Borough, village.
Cul-de-sac.
That's a smaller.
It doesn't have to be bigger.
Hamlet.
Hamlet?
Hamlet's good.
Sure. Hamlet the Raptor.
Hamlet the Raptor. Oh, man. You guys are convened. The party is complete once again. Orvex is there with you. Crate, Douglas, Lee, Hamlet, and Horik. You had planned to meet Kozef the next day. You have a night to figure stuff out if you want before you actually go to encounter him.
I
want to
go check up on Zongo.
Sure. Yeah. Go through the tunnels over to the entrance area. And there's Zongo inside the cage. Looking pretty sad and isolated, I would say.
So I go to Fenthaus and I'm like, can you set free our friend dinosaur, Zongo?
I can do this for you.
Thanks.
Yes, this is my pleasure. Is there other aid that you... I don't even know if I'm doing the right voice, but... Is there,
good enough.
Is there other aid that you require entering the Tomb of Nine Gods on your way to return to me the Black Opal Crown?
Oh yeah, let me get back to you. But definitely.
Fantastic.
Did you happen to find anybody with this dinosaur?
There were a few slaves at one point that said they knew something about it, but they were useless to me, to be honest.
Were they...
Are they dead?
Yeah.
Are they here or dead?
I can't be sure. I'll check in with the slave master.
It's not a big deal, really.
I didn't think it would be.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're alive, just, you know, give us a heads up if you could.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do what I can.
Thanks.
They kind of owe us some money.
That's true.
You know how it is.
Slaves, always debtors.
We are going to meet Kozef, right? Are we going to fight Kozef, you guys think?
He is an obstacle, is he not?
He is.
One that we shall overcome through force.
I mean, have you met him yet?
I don't think I have, but we probably know, the UNT probably know that he's around. I mean, they knew that you guys were sneaking around and stuff.
I don't know if I
want
to risk damaging the cubes, though.
That's true.
That's our only way in. And
the only thing is, we don't know where they are, too, technically.
Yeah.
The things you get from Rasnasi might help you.
Are they all the cubes we need?
Not quite. Rasnasi has a flame tongue longsword.
Sick.
It's a longsword that can be wielded as a normal longsword, 1d8 slashing or 1d10 if you hold it in two hands. It emits flames that shed bright light in 40-foot radius. While the sword is ablaze, it deals an extra 2d6 fire damage to any target it hits.
God damn.
How does it get ablaze?
You just use a bonus action to turn it on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It just has a button.
Not that I need to know this. These are questions Horik should be asking.
So anybody proficient with a longsword can definitely use that.
Yeah. Can you do long swords?
You can, you technically can't use it while two weapon fighting.
Oh, never mind then.
No, I just use it as two-handed. Two-handed sword. Yeah.
For sure.
I would take it.
Okay.
If nobody else.
So go ahead.
I mean, Horik already has an arsenal, so.
He sure does.
I mean, he could give you one of his, like, you know, used up ones.
Can you tell me the name of that thing again?
Flame Tongue Longsword.
Flame Tongue Longsword. All right.
Other treasure that you are allowed to gather. 2,000 or 3,000 gold worth of stuff that you'll never spend.
Yep.
There is a sending stone.
What's that?
It is a stone that is a two-way communicator with another sending stone.
Oh. So we don't have the other one, though.
You do not.
I still pocket that, though.
Okay.
Somebody must.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fenthaza hooks you guys up with 2 potions of healing each and a potion of lesser restoration each.
Crate will petition the slave master for some thralls that we can use as disposable assets on this mission.
He looks around, finds a few 8-year-olds that they've kidnapped from Court Nyanzaru, and waves his tentacly hand at them. And then this child standing beside him, who seems to be interpreting the random movements and sighs and eye rolls of Slave Master Isar, says,
Slave Master Isar says you can take those 3 boys from my kindergarten.
Are they capable fighters? I hand one a sword. Show me your prowess.
I once saw Raul beat another boy up.
Yeah. Strike me down now!
No, these will only slow us down. Instead, I ask him to point me to the corpse pit.
Yeah, you get sent to the corpse pit. It's over there.
Sure. I pick out a corpse that looks like it had a strong, fiery independence in its life. I want one that died fighting.
You absolutely have one of those. Somebody that Sekalok was practicing on.
Excellent. And then I cast Animate Dead.
All right. The zombie lurches to life and begins to follow you wherever you go. Like a weird pet.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Very well. That's all the preparations I need.
How long does that last for?
A day, basically. Okay. I have to cast it every day to keep them going.
And you can keep using the same corpse.
Yeah.
Cool.
Neat.
I like that a lot, actually. Coming handy.
I don't. It's weird and unnatural.
You guys were coming up with a plan whether you wanted to fight Kozef right away or not.
Yeah. I think. I'm just not sure we want to actually fight him right away. Because we need him to open up the thing, and we set up that sweet trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Horik and the rope.
Yeah, he plugged up some number of holes.
He plugged up one hole. He thinks. Or no, he doesn't think.
Yeah, we think that.
That's mean, guys. Horik thinks about things. He's a thoughtful guy. He just doesn't think very hard.
He's a deep thinker.
He's
not
what
we
call street smart.
Fenthaza and Crate, what have you heard about the dungeon?
Rasnasi was employed to protect the entrance. He was a servitor of some skeletal archmage, of some green-eyed devil. He wanted Rasnasi to protect the entrance, to keep interlopers away, and the whole time, that bastard knew that the crown was in there, knew that our means of taking over the world were there, and he would not go back on his word against some filthy necromancer.
I was wondering if you knew what we might expect.
Necromancer traps and tricks. Probably many undead.
Cool.
I know that a great number of Omuans were sacrificed to its creation.
Man, poor people of Omu.
As well, it is the tomb of the 9 trickster gods. If they have any power remaining, they may still be in there.
Cool. I want to go in here more and more, you guys.
Well, we weren't like keen on it, but we just know we have to.
I know.
I get the sense that you guys are moving on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. I'm going to take Zongo with us, though.
Okay. Are you going to take him into this dungeon?
No.
He's pretty big. Are you just going to release him?
Yeah, I'm releasing him.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. She gives you the key to his cage, and you are on your way the next morning.
Do you still have like a scrap of something of Ferul's? And you
I
can give it to Zongo?
Something that smells like smell Port Nyanzaru.
Yeah.
What would I have? Let me look. Hork, do you still have your ladder?
No.
Didn't Zongo have a ladder?
Zongo's just got a ladder strapped to his side.
I think he left it with them. That was
I
the
did.
Whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hork did leave the ladder with Ferul and Gondolo and Zongolo.
Zongolo, yeah.
I take off the ladder. Get a whiff of this. You like that?
Weird. You're free now, buddy. Find your masters or don't. I don't care, but you're free from here. And I slap Zongo right on the butt.
Yeah, you're a slave to no man.
Or little man.
Or elf.
The Triceratops gives you a last grateful look as he trundles off into the city and disappears around the edge of some buildings.
I hope he doesn't get eaten, is what I say. There's
a lot of danger.
You hear a large reverberating.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, no one's going near that.
Nobody.
Let's go meet a fucking wizard and his dumb dog.
So we're not killing him?
We'll see.
I think we should wait till we open up the door.
Yeah, exactly.
We can kill him right after.
I will defer to your judgment on this one.
All right.
He could be of use to us before we, you know, have to dispose of him.
I whisper to Crate, can you check if he's actually dead, though? Because that's my theory.
Oh, if Kozef is dead?
Yeah.
We could probably find out.
Okay. So you guys proceed through the city. It is a bright morning with some thunder clouds threatening on the east horizon. You guys make your way back up to the obelisk that marked the entrance of the tomb. There it still stands, tall, foreboding, and dark, again with that inscription on the front of it. And standing beside the obelisk, resplendent in red, Kozef and his 5 skeletal pack mules.
And dog.
Which, as soon as you come within sight, is...
All right, Masterpiece, we got you.
Hi, hello, my friends. I was worried you are not going to be coming.
Why would you think that?
Mostly something that I had sensed that you were maybe afraid of entering the tomb.
Hey.
Yeah,
Ah, you should do well to be afraid. Of course, it is going to be a perilous journey. I see also that one of your friends has not come with, but you bring another.
Yeah, we're apparently very quick to replace people in this group.
I think it's an upgrade, really.
I represent Fenthaza, Nightmare Speaker.
I have no idea who that is. I don't care.
Oh, you will care. You will.
You sound very angry and foreboding. I suppose.
You too.
And this is how two necromancers get along.
I hope you have held up your ends of the bargain and brought all of the puzzle cubes.
I point to Horik.
Horik pats himself all over, and eventually he finds them, and then confirms for Kozef that he has them, and reaches out his hands for the others.
He fishes into the rib cage of one of the skeletons behind him and pulls out a small sack. Within, you can hear the clatter of the remaining puzzle cubes. And so you guys are both standing across from each other in the clearing. Who's going to go first? Who's going to be the one to offer them forward? And
Horik reaches out.
Yeah.
And grabs the bag.
Yeah.
Says, thank you. Let's go.
All right. So what have you discovered? I have found this very interesting looking obelisk with this inscription. Do you all remember what it says?
Not at all.
Would you like me to read it out loud for you?
Please.
I haven't seen this yet.
Can't read, so...
Okay. For my snaky friend. Fear the night when the Forsaken One seizes death's mantle, and the seas dry up and the dead rise, and I, Asarak the Eternal, reap the world of the living. Those who dare enter, take heed. The enemies oppose... One stands between them. In darkness it hides. Don the mask or be seen. Speak no truth to the doomed child. The keys turn on the inside only.
Kozef, you gave me chills.
It was beautifully.
Mm-hmm. I took drama for 4 years.
At Necromancy U?
Thayan High.
Oh, in high school.
Were you held back a year?
No, it's like Ontario. Start at 9.
Oh, okay.
Well, we think we found the place to go to.
All right.
That sounds much like this wonderful forsaken place.
Yes, the forsaken. Such a nice place.
Yeah.
So, yes, what do we do with the cubes? I see this entrance ahead of us. I see that it looks like there's somewhere to put the cubes.
Yeah. I think that looks like we're the right place, but also it fits a whole bunch of people, which we are, so let's go in that one.
Okay, sounds good.
I hand him the cubes.
Okay.
You're the most magical here.
So you guys are all going into that front entrance there?
No. I look up and see that big stone that's going to come crashing down.
Well, I think that was farther into the entrance.
Yeah.
I think we could still
Is there like a tunnel and then the door?
It's a 20-foot deep tunnel.
Okay.
The first 10 feet of which it has that stone cube hanging above. You know that when you try to activate the trap or something like that, the cube will more than likely descend down, blocking you in or crushing you underneath it.
My only concern is that we can't get to the cube after.
You examined it. You drew some conclusions. You could tell that the cube is going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
Fast or slow, you don't know.
Right.
And then there are holes in the wall that are probably vents for poison gas.
Yes, right.
He's immune to poison, so that's not a thing.
Only if he's actually undead. We don't really know that.
Yeah, well, you were supposed to check.
I feel like he'd still just be immune.
How much time are we spending with Kozeb?
It has probably been about 5 minutes by now.
Hork would like to use Know Your Enemy.
Okay.
Which is his new level 7 ability.
Yeah.
If you spend at least 1 minute observing or interacting with another creature outside combat, you can learn information about his capabilities compared to your own.
Sure.
And I would like to learn about his current HP compared to my own.
Do I have to give you a number or just a more or less than?
There's no text for that, so I'm going to say you have to give me a number.
I'm going to say he has less hit points than you.
He has less hit points than me.
How many hit points do you have?
85.
Well, that's a lot of points you could fit in there.
Yeah.
Still.
But it's less.
It could literally be 84.
But it's less than me.
Yeah.
What's another characteristic you'd like to know about?
His AC.
Inferior to yours.
Okay.
That doesn't mean anything to me. Because it could be equal to mine.
I got something for you now, Douglas.
Oh, okay. Whoa, well, that's threatening.
No, I mean, I'm going to give you bark skin.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get rid of mage armor then.
From your prep list, you mean?
Yeah.
As you guys are getting ready to go in there, Kozef also casts mage armor on himself.
Okay. Well, I think we can enter. We just maybe don't go super far in.
It's a 20-foot long hallway.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the first 10 are covered by the cube. Mm. The next 10 feet are right in front of that door. So if you were to talk about in combat situation or in
So we actually space, want him back behind us then, and we're putting the cubes in.
No, he's going to put the cubes in and then the stone would crush him.
Because we're pretty sure that the other entrance that we hid is the right one.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. I'm trying to figure out trap-wise how we're going to make this trap work.
You could fit 4 people in there that would not get crushed by the stone, mm-hmm. if that's what you want to do.
Luckily, there's 4 of us.
Okay.
Hork offers to keep watch.
Okay.
Perfect.
So Hork stays outside of the tunnel
that's
while
right.
you guys work on the door. Who mm-hmm. is going in with Kozef?
I'll go in.
Okay. Douglas is in with Kozef.
Okay. I'm going to go to the corner that looks safe, but I'm going to be examining the area,
yeah,
quote sure. unquote, for the listeners.
And you and Kozef there both are kind of sharing the load of the cubes.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees that there are these 8 square cavities arranged in a square pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think we should do here?
I mean, you got the cubes. They're cube places. It seems like we put them in there.
Okay.
They didn't teach you the stuff in Thayan High?
He just starts putting cubes in randomly. Once they're in, they pop back out.
Right. And I'm like, hey, don't some of these cubes, I try to make it sound like I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't these cubes look like they correspond to these animals?
And Orvex from behind you is like, that's right, actually. The different Trister gods opposed each other. Maybe if I recount the story again, that will help. Or I could just, you know, tell you.
Whatever you want to do, Orvex. You're a good guy.
Great.
I haven't told you are a good guy.
Ijin, the Almiraj, and Obalaka the Zorbo are opposite. Kubazan, the Frogemoth, and Papazodal, the Ible, are opposite. Moa, the Jaculi, and Wongo, the Sea Monster, are opposite. And Nangnang, the Grung, and Shigambi, the Commodon, those are also opposite. So perhaps if you put them so that they're facing across from each other, that will activate the door.
Cool. I pick up one and I put it in there where it's supposed to go.
Sure.
And I put in another one and I'm just like, Kozef?
Yeah, and he
and I back he's off helped, he's he starts you, putting in there.
Marking out the correct pattern.
Douglas has already backed off after he started getting into it.
As they start to go in, the stone block slowly begins to descend over the tunnel entrance. It's not Indiana Jones fast. It's more like Star Wars closing door fast.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, so Kozef notices is what you're saying.
Well, we don't.
Yeah, and he's looking at it. He's like, so it looks like...
bad plan.
Closing door. Are your friends coming in? Hello, you're coming to the tomb, right?
Yeah, totally. I'm like, guys, come on.
I can't hear you. What?
Zombies, come in. Zombies, come in.
Horik, Horik, come on.
Your zombies are in the way.
I can't get your friends are so slow.
I'm going to go grab Horik, and I run outside.
And the door closes. Crate, you're inside. The block sits into place. And then this green caustic gas starts to billow from the skeletal mouths of the relief carvings.
Oh, no.
It starts to fill the area. Please make a DC 15 constitution saving throw. I'll just be right up front with you. Because you're going to have to make it multiple times.
Is it poison there?
Make a saving throw.
Okay. Is it magic?
Make a saving throw.
It does matter if it's magic. What my saving throw will
make
be.
Make a saving throw.
Okay. So, either...
Oh. It's not magical. Don't worry
okay.
about it.
Well, okay, then it's not 27. It's 7.
Okay. So, you will take 1 point of acid damage.
Oh, acid. I see.
You can tell that something innate in you is fending off the poison that this gas also imparts, but that's also burning away at some of your scaly skin.
Poisoned acid? That's awful.
Poison and acid. That's round one.
Sure. That was close enough reacting.
Blast! My skeletons, their perfect bones will be etched away. He starts like fumbling through his spell book to try and find something that would work to protect them. And he is totally absorbed in doing that.
What's going on with Masterpiece?
A masterpiece is like...
But he's totally fine.
That doesn't sound fine.
No.
This is not good.
You have a turn to do something if you want. The rest of you outside, just the door is shut. The block is in the way there.
Yep.
And you're watching and you're like, should we have let Crate go in there?
I mean, let.
Crate's his own man.
Yeah.
But
I'm like, how long do you think we should do before we pull these keys back out?
Oh, we can't do it. The door's closed.
Up against the,
you hear nothing because it's 10 feet of rock.
Like the cubes are in there with them, right?
Cubes are in there.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be affected though.
You can see some of his skin is starting to get sort of like turn red with that sort of abrasion of the acid as well.
Sure.
Similar to what you're experiencing.
Okay. I cast resistance on myself.
Okay.
Just gives me a bonus on saving throws.
Sure.
Sorry, Kosef, it's only one target. Oh,
oh no. Go ahead and roll another save.
23.
All right. That time you managed to stave off the pain being inflicted. Again, he is casting a spell that is protecting his dog now.
Don't worry, Masterpiece. I will get you out of this in one piece.
What do you do, Crate? You got another round.
Is
that a cantrip you can just keep casting?
Yeah. One more round. I have an escape if I need to, but
sure.
I want to see where this goes. 8.
All right. That time Kozef made his save. You will take 2 acid damage.
Ooh.
Mike, this isn't going to kill Kozef. I thought he was going to get crushed by a stone.
Me too.
Yeah, that's what I thought it did too.
Nope, just a door. Stupid door.
Stupid doors.
So I'll be up front with you. This is going to go for a total of 10 rounds.
Okay.
Oh.
If you would do something special, like...
Plug all the holes with rope.
Yeah, like plug all the holes with hope, then you'd have to do that. If you're not, if you're just going to rely on your saves, we just
I think
roll
one
saves.
Hole's plugged still out of the however many there are.
Oh, you could get your zombies to plug all the holes, like with their fingies.
Their fingies.
Got, what is that, 10 times 5? You got 50 fingers there.
It depends how it was spaced out there.
That's true. They can probably remove them.
Maybe.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the spell, but it's melt into stone.
Oh, okay. You're just going to phase your way out?
Phase back out into the other side.
Oh, okay. Do not go in there.
Oh, man. That's terrible.
You cast melt into stone and then?
Basically, just back into the stone door there. I don't think I can actually go through stuff. I think I just kind of become one with it. So I just wait there for the poison to
If you become
subside.
One with it, can you at least talk to us on the other side of
I'm
it?
I'm going to speak to Douglas and Horik while we're waiting, though.
How long do we have to wait? We don't know.
Oh, I'm just like, if he's still alive when that door opens, do we attack him?
I think
is this the time?
I think this is the time. He would be weaker than probably any other time.
Well, let's wait to hear what Crate has to say.
No, I just waited out, and I'm vaguely aware of what's happening outside.
Sure. So he melds into the wall of stone. You can tell that Kozef is having a rough time in there and is coughing and hacking as the acid starts to corrode away at him and his skeletons. And then you feel the stone begin to lift and...
Step back out.
Into
the ceiling.
Step back out into the dissipating cloud of gas, and you'll take some damage. 16 acid damage.
Ooh,
as the fully saturated room.
Do I not get a save on that one? Or?
No, you do not.
What?
It's just so much acid in there.
It's just so much acid. And then you and Kozef both stumble out of the entrapped hallway back into the nice spring air. And you can see that Kozef is definitely not in good condition.
Wow, 60 Shoot seconds them. Of that. That was rough.
You seem okay. What happened in there?
I think...
Kosa, friend, where's Masterpiece?
He's right here, and he lifts his cloak, and the dog is there like...
This dog is invincible.
Well, he literally used his life force to save him.
So, I mean, I'm waiting for your guys' cue to attack him.
Shoot him with a bow.
Oh, I'm going to use my flame sword.
Oh, shit.
Horik looks at Kozef, and he asks, how you feeling?
I think that this entrance
was bad.
It's not the right entrance.
Oh, Kozef, I'm sorry. I should have cast Find Traps before that.
Was it not the right move going in there?
I think that you are fucking with me.
Was it like when you fucked with our friend Rye?
Oh, shit. Oh,
flame on!
And Horik draws Bob the Battle Axe.
All right.
Bob the Battle Axe.
Roll initiative.
5 for Horik.
8 for Douglas, please.
12 for Lee.
13 for Crate.
All right, Kozef goes first.
Oh, oh, what a speedy boy.
What a dick.
Kozef, seeing that he is in trouble, he's surrounded by enemies, his skeletons have basically disintegrated behind him, seeing that his dog is in danger.
Oh my god, let's just attack the dog.
No! Yeah.
He flourishes his hands in a somatic component and chants some arcane code words and flourishes a wand, and a sphere of negative energy ripples out around him. Each creature in the area, that's you guys. Do you have your hand up.
I do.
What is it?
I cast Counterspell.
What level do you cast it at?
4th level.
Okay.
You attempt to interrupt a creature in the process of casting a spell. If the creature is casting a spell of 3rd level or lower, the spell fails and has no effect. If it's casting a 4th spell or higher, make an ability check using your spellcasting ability. The DC equals 10 plus the spell level. On a success, the creature's spell has failed and no effect.
Make that check.
All right. 9.
Not enough.
Damn it.
I'm afraid. And this circle of death ripples out around you. Everyone makes a constitution saving throw.
Ruh-roh.
23 for Horik.
20 for Lee.
7 for Douglas.
So 18 for Crate.
Okay. The DC was 15.
Woo!
So...
Not me.
Oh, make it for Velociraptor, please.
Oh.
Oh, and I guess my Skeleton.
Yeah.
And your Skeleton.
Do we still have Orvex? And whose side is he on?
Orvex is taking damage too.
16 for Hamlet.
The ghoul does not make it.
So this is 8d6 necrotic damage.
Holy moly.
Ow.
I hope he's just blowing his wad on the first attack.
If you failed your save, you take 27 damage.
Holy shit.
I didn't though, so I take...
Half of that.
I use my reaction to evade. Well, my ghoul just disintegrates. No, Steve.
And that means it is Crate's turn.
Cool, so I'll march up to him with an outstretched hand full of necrotic energy. And
you guys are just trading it.
He takes it. Yeah.
Who's the better necromancer now?
Yeah, Constitution saving throw DC 14, please.
He fails.
Okay.
Yay.
So he is deafened.
I cannot...
My beautiful singing voice.
I can't hear myself.
He does get to make a save at the end of each of his turns to get rid of it. Otherwise, it lasts for a minute.
Sounds good. Next is Lee.
Lee is going to rush in.
Okay.
And attack with the flame sword. Ha! 19 to hit.
19 hits.
15 damage.
Oh, ouch.
Yep. Now that I can use Hamlet as a free action, I'm going to have him attack as well.
Okay.
He has a bite attack.
All right.
22 to hit.
22 hits.
11 damage.
Ouch.
Okay, I'll swing again then. 23 to hit.
That hits.
13.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, this sword does some hurting.
And his robes are catching fire. You know, what little of them was not corroded by acid. He's stumbling back from you. Douglas, it is your turn.
How far am I from Masterpiece?
You're about the same distance, like a move action.
Okay, I'm going to try to not hit Masterpiece. That was the whole point, is I was trying to save the dog.
Oh, okay.
so
has no redeeming qualities.
I mean, it's not his fault that his master's evil.
Can't you just choose so many creatures that are not affected by it?
Oh, yeah, I do have Spell Shape. You are correct on that. I'll still do Ray of Frost because I already have that going.
Okay.
I'm just going to shoot right a beam right into his icy heart.
Okay.
24.
That hits.
12 damage.
You blast Kozef right in the chin with a Ray of Frost. It's like a hard uppercut. And he falls backwards, ice starting to coat his emaciated-looking body, and Masterpiece jumps out of his robe and just bolts off into the jungle.
I say, you're free now, ugly dog. You're free.
Oh, now he and Zongo are going to have to travel back to Port Nyanzaro
together.
Oh
my god, they need their own separate comic.
Send in your fan art. Yeah.
It's Zongo and Masterpiece.
Masterpiece Theater, starring Zongo.
The dead necromancer of Thay lies before you. You have defeated Kozef. See you in 2 weeks. The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.
You're fucked up. That's so sad. Oh my god.